because we're coming out of the summer now. Summer's over, y'all. And in the summer, we started talking about God, sex, and sexuality. Because of the culture that we live in, unfortunately, many believers are more discipled by our culture and the world than by Christ and the Word. So many people have questions about things, especially when you look at, if you watch the news at all and see in politics, you start wondering, people have questions about marriage. People have questions about homosexuality and lesbianism and abortion and those types of things. So from the scriptures, we have to make it really plain in the culture that we live in, because many believers don't, they watch television more than they watch the Word. Come on, somebody. Not y'all. But that's why we went through that and we talked about being single, getting to the marriage altar the right way, God's way, amen. And now we're talking about marriage. And marriage is a very challenging thing, and family can be a very challenging thing. So we've been talking about these seven foundations. This week we're going to pick up where we left off, talking about forgiveness. But if y'all put my diagram up there for me, if you would. And by the way, all of my notes are available online at www.destinygso.org. All our messages are online. You can watch them, listen to them. I was just on our new website this past week, and I was so grateful. Make some noise for our team back there in the back, Siva. Thank you, and team that does all that. So if ever you miss a service, you can get online, watch the service, or hear it, and get the notes right there on the same page. So be sure that you catch all this so you can live the life that God has in store for you. We started talking about seven foundations to a successful marriage and family, and we started out talking about security and trust on week one, and that's so vitally important. And without security and trust in a marriage, that means having the same level of commitment and the same level of understanding about the marriage covenant. Amen. And we talked about that extensively. Then we went into communication and talked about four real keys, elements to effective communication. Then last week we started talking about forgiveness. Have you all lived long enough to figure out that in family you're going to have some conflict? Come on, somebody. Smile while you say it so they know you love them, particularly if you're sitting next to them. But it's normal. Today, I want to dig a little bit deeper. Last week, we just laid a basic foundation of understanding how important forgiveness is. God gave us forgiveness with Jesus while we could care less about him. Amen. He did that forward. He forgave us, and we understood the importance of that, and I'll recover some of reviews that shortly. But today, we want to go in deeper and talk about reconciliation, and you'll understand. First of all, family disputes are inevitable. Family disputes are inevitable, but the Bible gives us keys to navigating through them to make sure that we have peace in our family. But the Bible shows us over and over. If you started Genesis with the first family and every other family in the Bible, you're going to see some conflict. That's right. Why I say that is because it's true, but I don't want you to panic about struggles and challenges in your family. Say it's normal. Look. Remember Cain and Abel? That's the first family's kids. Cain and Abel, one kills the other. Now, hopefully the conflict in your family isn't quite at that level. Come on, somebody. It may be, but that's the first family. Then, remember Noah and his son Canaan? Noah had a drinking problem. Come on, somebody. The Bible is real people. Noah had gotten drunk. His son saw him naked. Canaan saw him naked, but it was something more that went on than just seeing him naked. Something else went on. We talked about that when we were talking about sexuality and that sort of thing. The Bible implies that there was some type of, I'm not even going to go into the detail of it, but there was some incident that occurred there that caused Noah to put a curse on him. Are you with me? And it was the beginning of sexual immorality and problems that we see it throughout the Bible. Major, major dispute. Amen. Abram, Sarah, and Hagar dispute. Okay, you don't even have to break that down. Abram, husband, Sarah, wife, Hagar, side piece, mistress. That's going to be a problem. Y'all remember Sarah said, okay, she got to go. But you're the one. You get it? Problems. Jacob and Esau, two brothers that hated each other. We talked about that a little last week. Yeah, Abram and Lot. Oh, I missed that one. Abram and Lot. God told him not to take his nephew. He took his nephew. This is nephew. And remember, they had a dispute over stuff. God had blessed them so much that they had this dispute. Lot became a lot of problems for Abram his whole entire life. Amen. Abram, Sarah, okay. Then Jacob and Esau dispute. That was his nephew. Do y'all get what I'm saying? His family, his nephew, Jacob, Leah, and father-in-law Laban. Remember that? He's supposed to marry Rachel, and he tricks him and has him marry Leah, and then jacks him for the next 14 years of work. I mean, that's family. Come on, somebody. Hit the person next to you, particularly if they're family, and say, I love you anyway. Okay, y'all remember this one? Jacob, Simeon, Levi, Jacob the father, Simeon and Levi, and Dinah. Dinah is their sister. Dinah had been raped. Y'all remember that in the Bible? Genesis something, but she had been raped, and the person who raped her and his father came and said, hey, we want peace. Can my son just marry her? And they had all agreed. The sons and everybody said, yeah, cool. But they really plotted to kill all of them, and they did. Remember, they had them get circumcised, and then that next morning they got up and killed everybody, and of course it was a big issue because Jacob said, what have you guys done to me? Now they're going to come back and kill us. We're in trouble because of what you did. We made an agreement with them and broke it. Family issues. Joseph and his brothers. Come on. Chapters, the whole end of Genesis is all about that conflict. Are y'all with me? And we don't even get, all you got to do is just go through the Bible. You see it with David. You see it with Solomon. You see it with every Bible character. There were family issues. What does that say to me? There's going to be family disputes. But what we don't want to happen is it to affect someone's purpose and destiny. We want to resolve these issues. I believe from the scriptures we can get along with family, work out issues, maybe not always have to hang around everybody, but live at peace. Not have that funky feeling when you get around. Come on, somebody. We're just going to have peace. Yeah, we ain't going to. Come on, somebody. We may not sit down and eat dinner every night together, but when we see each other, we can hug and love and not have to put our mouth on anybody. Come on, somebody. All right? So let's just start from there. And I want to cover a lot of material in a little bit of time. So let's jump right in it. First of all, let's just review real quickly what we covered last week. Colossians, turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, NLT. NLT, we read this passage last week. Look what Paul writes. He says, make allowance for each other's faults. If you're going to be married, if you're going to have children, if you're going to enjoy your family, you're going to have to make allowances for each other's faults. Each other's faults. Not their faults, but you have faults too. Come on, hit the person next to you. You're going to really wear them out today. You've got faults, but so do I. Are y'all with me? Look at this, and forgive anyone who does what? Who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you might want to forgive others. You must forgive others. And so last week, all we covered was why is that in the New Testament? Why does the New Testament say you have to forgive? Not for God's sake, for our sake. And we covered that last week. So real quickly, forgiveness is a choice and not an emotion. To pardon, to free, to release debt. Release someone of the debt. They've done something against you, but be willing to forgive them anyway. Amen? Forgiveness, we found this out last week. Say, he's just reviewing. Forgiveness releases the debt to God. We found that out. You put it in God's hands now. In fact, God says if your enemy does something against you, go and give them a cup of water. If they're thirsty, give them a cup of water. Why is God doing that? They hate me. Because God's trying to get you to release the debt to him. And that scripture says it. It says, no, you're heaping coals on their head. In other words, I'll take care of it for you. You love them, I'll manage it. If you handle it, it's in your hands. That's why we see you on 48 Hours. Come on, y'all seen that show? All right, I'm sorry. Okay, forgiveness releases the debt to God. Forgiveness releases people to God and his righteous judgment. We found out that forgiveness releases me from being held hostage by tormentors. There's torment that the Bible says occurs when someone holds on to unforgiveness in their heart. Then we also found out forgiveness releases and restores love. Amen. We also found that forgiveness releases healing. All this we found in the scriptures. Unforgiveness gives place to the devil. We found out Paul said that in Corinthians. And also we found out that forgiveness is a poison in the heart. It's poison in the heart. Your heart is not made to harbor unforgiveness. Forgiveness, we found this out, is not trust, avoidance, or forgetting. So I can forgive someone, but still not trust them. Are y'all with me? If someone committed adultery, they have to regain that trust, even though you can forgive them. We can forgive a pedophile, but trust me, we're not gonna put them in charge of the children's ministry or let them work over there. We don't trust you with that yet. We can forgive you. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? So it's different than trust. It's different than avoidance. Forgiving somebody isn't just avoiding them. Come on, have y'all done that in life? Most of us have. Just avoid them and it'll go away. No, it doesn't. Forgiveness is not avoidance. We need to resolve issues, all right? Okay, and it's not forgetting. Forgiveness is not forgetting. You've heard people say this before. You're supposed to forgive and forget like God. No, some things you can't forget. You will never forget some things that are really painful, but you can forgive and move on with a normal life. Can you say amen? All right, and now let's dig in a little bit deeper. I want to talk about specifically forgiveness in marriage. Come on, how many are married in here? Let me see. Put them up real high. Some of y'all are like, I'm not sure. I'm still it's questionable. Put them up. Yes, if you're married, you know good and well that your spouse has at one time or another offended you, hurt your feelings, done something that wasn't pleasing to you. Can you say amen? Not so loud on the front row, please, next time. All right, watch this. Forgiveness in marriage mainly involves trespasses. Trespasses. Now, the Bible talks about three categories of sin. Sin, iniquities, and trespasses. Sin, iniquities, and trespasses. I could go into a whole series of this. But essentially, sin is transgression of divine law. Missing the mark, the Bible calls it. Hamartia is the word in the Greek. But it means missing the mark, and it's a transgression. You can sin against. Adultery is a sin in marriage. Come on, somebody. Say amen right there, like y'all know. Okay. All right. Where's my devil? Yeah. Sin is transgression of divine law, a willful or deliberate violation of moral law. Are y'all with me? Iniquities, that word is derived from inequities, unfairness. It means an injustice. Slavery was an injustice. Sinead and I watched a movie this weekend called, what was that movie with Denzel? Come on, girl, you usually remember everything. If I ask her who was the executive director and the producer, there it goes, Hurricane. Old true story about a boxer and how he'd been put in prison unfairly. He was accused of a crime that he didn't commit, and they'd had him in prison for nearly 30 years or something like that. Really great movie, great acting. But it was an inequity. It was an injustice that had done. Abortion is an iniquity. It's passed down from generations. Have you noticed how something, an iniquity, it can be passed down from generation to generation? In other words, the mindset gets changed towards something. And someone has to change that injustice, that mindset. Amen? But then trespasses are different. Trespasses, they're an unlawful act causing injury to a person or property, wrongful entry upon the land of another, an encroachment or an intrusion, offense, sin or wrong. This is what mostly happens in marriage. Mostly. There are sins and they have to be dealt with. Have to be dealt with typically with some intervention. But trespasses happen kind of frequently. They can happen frequently. That whole episode that I told y'all about us on vacation, was a trespass. Let me help you to understand what it means. Trespass, like in football, the game that's going to go on today, all the games that's going to go on. Someone is going to call encroachment when somebody, y'all know how football goes. Football is they're on this line of scrimmage, the offense and the defense, and the offense is trying to get to this goal, so all the yardage behind them they've gained. The defense is trying to move the opposite direction and keep them from getting to this goal or get the ball and go in the other goal. But you'll see it every game, someone on the offense or defense can jump off sides, over the line, stepping onto the other team's property, accessing their property. And they blow the whistle, call encroachment. What happens? The team has to immediately forgive them and move on. If everybody's like, what? He did what? You don't hear the announcer go, there's a sin on the field. We've got to analyze this sin and have forgiveness. No, someone just trespassed. Typically, it's not intentional. They made a mistake. But if he keeps doing it, there's going to be a 5-yard penalty when he does it the first time. There is a penalty. But typically, if he keeps doing it and you cost us the game, we don't have to deal with you. They're going to beat him up. They're probably just going to pull him out of the game and figure out what's going on. Why do you keep getting offsides? This is the kind of stuff that happens in marriage. It's we get on someone else's property, the way they do things, the way they say things, the way that they're, do y'all get this? Each person in a marriage is their own individual self. They do things, y'all know it when you got married, your spouse cleans the way her mom taught her to clean. By the way, if she doesn't clean, it's because her mom didn't teach her how to clean. And now, in my household, it was two boys, me and my brother growing up together. And every week, we had to get up and vacuum. We had to do, you know, and my mom is old school. Wave mom. There's mom right there. My mom liked the carpet to look like the showroom floor. See the lines. Come on, somebody. So you had to vacuum it backwards. Come on, somebody. Because when you get out, there shouldn't be any footprints if you vacuum the floor. Anybody old school like that? Come on. The carpet needs to look like somebody just mowed it. Huh? And the wood floors, Sinead does the same thing on the wood floors. You get what I'm saying? But watch. If your spouse, you say, hey, honey, could you vacuum the carpet today? And he thinks he's doing great. He vacuums the carpet, but he didn't vacuum it like your mama taught you to vacuum it. Now we got a problem. And typically there are little things like this. Now watch, offenses become a problem if we don't know their offenses and they're never dealt with. They can be small things, but over time, over and over, have you ever heard, Shanae and I do a lot of marriage counseling, so we hear this line, I love him, but I'm not in love with him. And we, Lord. And there hasn't been any major sin. There hasn't been adultery. There hasn't been that. They just tired of each other. And typically what has happened is these trespasses, offended, being, okay. When y'all start giving signals from the front line, you're making me adjust my clothes. Huh? But typically what happens is little trespasses that go on. Y'all know, and this happens a lot in marriage, where we get around people and then we may say something that embarrasses our spouse or make jokes and she's the butt of the target of the jokes or things like that. Come on, somebody. Do I need to get in your business in your house? Little things like where someone feels like they're getting worn out all the time because you walk in the house. Now, she's been at work too, but then she comes home and has to start cooking, doing homework with the kids, doing all this stuff. And then you walk in, kick your shoes off at the door, throw your stuff down, and sit in front of the news and start watching TV. You just trespassed because she needs help. Come on, somebody. Anybody got family? Kids is real, man. Kids is hard. Life is tough with just all the daily routine of stuff. So all these things are trespasses. They're encroachments. They're things. And what you have to do is you have to deal with them. You have to talk about them in loving ways so as to not offend, because most of the time, the other spouse doesn't even realize what they've done. This is typically what happens. And you have to bring the offense to their attention. Yes, there should be a penalty. You get it? You can't just let offsides go. You gotta call it and say, in a loving, nice way. Come on, somebody. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, this is not going to be deep stuff today. Come on, y'all. We're not going to get deep. We got deep last week. Get the last week's video. But this week, we got to get real practical because marriage, family is very difficult and stuff happens. No trespassing. When you see signs up on property that says no trespassing, we were talking with my mom. My mom was over one day, and we were talking about this boy, and my brother was talking about it. I was over at their house, actually. And our next-door neighbor when we were growing up, the man, Mr. Kelly, I still remember his name, would not allow any kids to walk on his grass. Nobody can walk on his grass. You know, and you would get in trouble. We would be nervous. If the football went over the fence into Mr. Kelly's yard, it's like, oh, no. We were terrified to just run and get the football and run back. You get what I'm saying? He would have a fit, and he didn't want anybody trespassing on his property. Each of us have our own property, the way we do things, the way we think, maybe even our dialect. The way we talk, the way we say things. And oftentimes we can offend when you start correcting someone, when you start making them try to do things your way. Now, these seem like minor things. They seem, come on, somebody, seem like minor things, but I'm telling you, it's those little things over time that just keep adding up. Trespass on top of trespass that makes a person erupt one day and sit in my office talking about, I'm in love with him, but I don't love him anymore. And I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. What happened? And there's no major incident that happened. It's just little stuff that has compiled over the years that has never been dealt with. And oftentimes we're afraid to say things to each other because we don't want to further offend. I'm telling you, you can save your marriage, save your family. And this works with your kids too. Come on, somebody. Sometimes it's easier to just do it yourself than to have to go through the measures of, okay, look, do this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so-and-so leaves the kitchen a mess, and you go, you start fussing. But they're not there. But you've already cleaned it up because you can't stand looking at it. Anybody like my house? Come on. Am I the only one? Oh, I'm by myself today. Okay, all right. But it's better to leave the mess, wait for them to get there and say, hey, in a loving, kind way, deal with some of these things in a way and communicate it before you erupt and go crazy. Because what will happen is one time they'll do it and they never knew. You're going crazy and then they say, well, mom's crazy. Notice I use Shanae in that example, typically because, are y'all listening to me? We're trying to keep the marriage together. We're trying to keep the family smiling with each other, all right? Okay, we trespass on one another's opinions, thoughts, ways of doing things, view on processing events. So what I want to do this next part, and for just the duration of the service, this last part, is talk about confrontation. One of the hardest things to do is to confront loved ones about issues that are going on, big or small. It can be a very challenging thing, and the Bible talks about it, so let's talk about it. Are y'all all right? I know we ain't getting deep today. Y'all come on Wednesday, we're going to get deep because we're talking about grace, receiving the grace of God in superabundance. Come on Wednesday, I'll be here getting deep. Right now, we're going to get practical. Turn over in your Bible to Matthew chapter 18. These offenses happen everywhere. We see it in church. Paul, if you read the Bible, you see Paul had a falling out with Mark. Paul the apostle had a falling out with Mark. They were getting ready to go on his journey, and he said, Mark ain't going with me. I can't deal with Mark. Mark? What in the world could cause the apostle Paul to get mad and say, you ain't going? And they had a dispute. You see, Paul will put you on blast. He put Peter on blast in the book of Galatians. We can still see it. So Peter, okay. So in front of the Jews, you act one way, but in front of the Gentiles, you act another way. Stop being a fake. Lee Stokes' version in Galatians or Philippians, one of them books, but it's there forever. A dispute that Paul had. You get what I'm saying? These things really happen in church. Come on, somebody, they happen. So we've got to be, as a church, we want to grow up. We want to grow up. We want to multiply. We want to increase. We want you to be discipled. We want you to understand how God works things so we can all live together, work together, preach this gospel, be living witnesses, living epistles, not just here at church, but at work, at home, everywhere we go. We are believers, and we want to be doing what God wants us to do, not just showing up at church, but being real believers. Come on, somebody. Real believers don't... aren't in love with the world and then come to church when they feel like it. So this lifestyle of the belief, is that too strong for y'all? Well, let me go a little bit harder then. Hang on. No, y'all know it. Y'all have met Christians who still get high, who get drunk all the time. Just keep looking straight ahead if I'm calling your name. Are y'all with me? Who still live a tore up life and then want God to bless them some way. It doesn't work like that. This thing is all or nothing. Go in all the way. Hit the person next to you and say, I know he's talking to me right now. I just know it. I just know he is. I'm just certain. All right? Watch this. Here we go. Here we are. Conflict. Confrontation. We can't just let it go and get mad and leave the church. Let it go and I'm not going there. So-and-so sat in my chair. So-and-so took my parking space. So-and-so, the music such and such. Come on, we can resolve stuff. Come on, say, let's grow up. Here we go right here. Watch this. If a fellow believer, here I'm in Matthew chapter 18, by the way. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 17. I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. If a fellow believer, hit the person next to you and say, that's talking about you. If a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell him. Don't avoid them. Don't avoid church. Don't stop doing everything. No. Tell them. Now we're going to work on how to tell them, though. Okay? Watch this. Work it out between the two of you. This works with family, too, y'all. Some of us have had some major offenses occur in our own family. Some things that have really hurt us and have really broken the relationship and that kind of thing. We can get, maybe not be the best of friends, but still, let's not have this funniness. Let's not have this awkward. That's not of God. We need our families, and our families need us. There's going to come a day when we need each other. We're all growing older. Come on, somebody. We're all growing older. You need your parents. You need your kids. You need them. You want to have a loving relationship. Come on, somebody. Now, God has designed a thing where they grow up and move. Hallelujah. But you get what I'm saying? But at the same time, you want to get together and have good times together and be able to come on, have y'all seen some family reunions? People pulling out guns, getting drunk, they're fighting. Come on, somebody. I know I'm not talking to the wrong crowd here. Come on. All right. Let me get back to my Bible here. The Bible, I'm safe up here. Work it out between the two of you. Notice this. If a fellow believer hurts you, notice what it doesn't say. Go and tell somebody who doesn't matter to. It's easier to talk about the situation with someone who can't change it. You get it? And just run your mouth on him and hey, and both of you put him down and get everybody feeling bad about it. Then resolve it. And the Bible says, no, that's not what you do. You go to the person. Tell him. Work it out between the two of you. If he listens, you've made a friend. You've reconciled, right? If he won't listen, now walk away and get mad. That's not what the Bible says. Watch what it says. Back up. Yeah, did I miss it? Yeah. If he won't listen, they're insisting on me going to this other part, but I'm going to keep staying right here till I get to that last word down there. If he won't listen, take one or two others along so that the presence of witnesses will keep things honest. Uh-huh. And try again, okay? You get it? You got a conflict, maybe in family, at home, or whatever the case, with someone at church. You go and get some, you come to them. They ain't here. I ain't want to talk about it. Right then is typically where you want to go, well, forget you too. In fact, I'm leaving this church. I can't stand you. It's like, whoa, this could have been resolved. And it could, right? He says, go back to them and bring somebody with you. All right, bring somebody with you. Maybe somebody is aware of the thing and you've made him with, and they're mature, not just to pick a fight, but you want to, the whole goal is reconciliation. Peace, reconciliation. That's the goal. Watch this. He says, he'll keep things honest. If he still won't listen, you think now, walk away. Watch what the Bible says. Tell the church. Now, that doesn't mean grab the mic. Pastor, give me the mic. Hang on, give me that mic. Now, last week, I was going in the bathroom, and right when I was getting ready to go in, so-and-so jumped in front of me, and I only like that one stall. You see, I got to have that one. You get what I'm saying? That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is go to the pastors, go to the elders and say, hey, we've got this conflict going on. Is it possible that you could help us mediate it and resolve it? All right? And I'm just going to share with you my side, but this is a thing that I just don't want it to get any further. We want to get it resolved. If he won't listen to the church, you'll have to start over from scratch. What is the Bible saying? Don't give up on it. Did y'all ever see that in the Bible? That's why I put it in the Message Bible so you can see what it's saying. It's hard to understand all that Elizabethan English. But he says, if you won't listen to the church, you'll have to start over from scratch. In other words, go back to them. Don't give up on them. Come on, that's enough for us to go home and watch the football game right there. All right. Well, not really. Let's go on. Watch this. You'll have to start over from scratch. Confront him with the need for repentance. He says, take a little bit of different angle. Offer them forgiveness, but forgiveness, we're going to see, for reconciliation, there has to be repentance too. All right, you can forgive somebody without them ever being sorry. But he says, now go for repentance. All right, so it's a different angle. And offer again God's forgiving love. Offer them forgiveness, but now you're seeking repentance. All right, so a different angle here, but y'all see this? What the Bible is saying, don't give up on relationships. Hit the person next to you, say, I need you. And we can get along. Turn to somebody you don't even know them that well. Turn to somebody you don't even know them that well. Come on, we're growing up right now. This is what growing up is. Tell them, stuff happens, man. Stuff happens, for real. Stuff happens. Stuff happens. It does. Y'all notice that? Stuff happens. Okay. All right. All right, okay, let's go on. Let's go on a little bit deeper. I'm going to give you three steps here, real practical steps, and we're going to use the scripture to do it, but here they are. Here's steps. Number one, preparation. Whenever you're going to resolve a conflict, don't just wing it. Don't just wing it. Oh, you know what? There's that person who did that to me. Let me go over and talk to him. Wrong. Don't do that. Preparation, next, confrontation. Third, reconciliation. Let's break them each down, all right? Are y'all with me? All right, first of all, preparation. I want you to realize that we've got to value healthy relationships more than our feelings of comfort. It is a natural thing particularly in Western society, we want comfort. Have y'all figured that out in life yet? We love comfort food. We love being comfortable. We will go through extreme efforts to be comfortable. So when something jumps off in a relationship, we want comfort. Easiest comfort is to avoid. And that's not the mature way. The mature way is to bring resolve. Even if we don't necessarily see eye to eye on it, we want to get to reconciliation. You get what I'm saying? We can agree to disagree on the thing, but we don't have to be enemies about this. We don't have to break up friendships, all right? So we have to value healthy relationships more than our feelings of just being comfortable. And typically what happens, it divides, it brings division, and there will come a time in life you're going to need somebody. You're going to need friends. You're going to need people. And so we've got to build our relationships, build each other's relationships and our trust in each other. Come on, somebody. I'm teaching good, even though we're not swinging from the chandeliers. All right. Strained relationships will naturally separate without work. Just like your garden, just like your house, things naturally deteriorate unless work is put in it. Your yard will go off the chain if you don't tend to it on a weekly basis. Your marriage will fall apart if you don't tend to it on a regular basis. Your relationships with your family members will fall apart if you don't tend to them on a regular basis. Are you with me? Now, you can have high school friends that you saw and you haven't seen them for 20 or 30 years. What's the difference? Close proximity. Close proximity reveals, I say it like this, love is blind, but marriage sure is an eye-opener. Have you found that? You go into marriage blind, oh, they're just so lovely. Boom, talk to them. I have it happen all the time. I have it happen all the time. When we have marriage counseling, we'll marry them. You can't even fit a paper in between them on my sofa in my office. Year later, my sofa's big. One's on that end, on this arm. The other's on this. What happened? What happened? I couldn't tell, pry y'all apart. I'm in love with him, but I'm not. What? And typically, no adultery, no major stuff, just little stuff that's gone on that they've never dealt with, and it causes wedges, and those strained relationships will naturally separate without being attended to. Are y'all listening to me? Amen, amen, amen. All right. Oh, my goodness. I keep losing my pages in my notes here. Okay, so here we go. Confront, before you confront, we said we got to prepare. So that we're in the preparation part. We, first of all, go to prayer. Go in prayer. Before you make any confrontation in your family, any kind of issues, make sure that you confront your own heart before you confront someone's behavior. Confront your own heart. My wife teaches on this quite a bit. Of course, she gets a lot of opportunity to teach about it, being married to her, to me. Come on, somebody. But you want to confront your heart. And she always says this, I always go to the Lord first. And if I go to the Lord first, I'm going to him saying, is it me or if it's him? If it's him, if it's me, Lord, let me know. If it's him, Lord, you let him know first before I talk to him. You let him know first. And both of us are praying people, so when I get with the Lord, I'll start, uh-oh. Hey. You know, and then we can go and reconcile things and get it worked out. Are y'all with me? Before it turns into something that it shouldn't be. And we're talking about trespasses. We're not talking major things. Maybe I said something out of place. I didn't behave in a way that she was expecting or whatever the case may be. Same thing with my kids. Come on, somebody, hey? All right? So we got to have Christ in the center of these relationships. He's got to be the main piece, amen? Look over at Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5, just about confronting your own heart. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. The Bible is saying here, if you read this in King James, it says, judge yourself so that you're not judged. And what the Bible is saying is, when you're confronting someone, make sure that you confront yourself first. Confront yourself. Make sure that I'm not just being in my feelings. I'm not just being, you know, I'm just being picky or whatever the case. Go to the next one for me, please. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you? When your own face is distorted by contempt, it's this whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again. Playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part. Don't you love the Message Bible? Amen. So the Bible is saying, hey, make sure before you confront someone else that you check yourself. Check yourself. And be honest. Come on, somebody. It's so easy. And this is why you have to go to prayer. You got to go before the Lord. I'm telling you, if you have a real genuine relationship with the Lord, your heart's tender. Your heart's tender. You're more sensitive to offending and hurting people. You don't want to hurt your kids. You don't want to. You don't want to hurt your spouse. You don't want to offend other people. Even if you make a mistake in traffic, you feel bad. Even if they're throwing signs at you and you know, wanting to do a drive-by shooting on you, you still want to get it right with them. Isn't that right? Because your heart is tender. Come on, how many of y'all's hearts have been changed since you're born again? You're not the same old person that you used to be. If you're born again, sin doesn't have the same appeal. It doesn't have the same effect on you. You may miss it, but you ain't going to feel good about cussing somebody out or doing something stupid to somebody. Not if you're really saved. Come on, somebody. Oh, I lost the whole back there. My side sections, y'all with me still, or y'all being funny? Do I need to come down there? Okay, y'all with me? Okay, so we prepare our own heart, amen? And then, watch, distinguish the difference. I'm still in preparation. Distinguish the difference between facts and feelings and stories. When people say things like this, they'll say things like, he really, you know, he doesn't love me anymore. What specifically is he doing that says to you he doesn't love you anymore? You got to get to specific behavior versus just how I feel. Because if you can narrow down what specific behaviors offended someone, and particularly in marriage, stuff happens, but you have to identify what is it that happened. Don't, you know, I'm mad. I just ain't in love with him anymore. Whoa, 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 whoa. What happened? You got to get to specifics so that you can identify what the problem is. Don't make the person your problem. The behavior is your problem. That action is your problem. The person is still the person you love, but the action is something you don't like. And that's what's got to be confronted. But you got to be specific about what's being said and what's being done. Is this helping you? Look at this. Look over at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. We're almost done. And New Living Translation. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. It's easy to make an opinion and even pass a verdict without first understanding all the facts. What really happened here? And oftentimes in family, you're going to find out the other person may be oblivious. Now, if they intentionally did something to you, if they intentionally, that's a whole nother level. That's not trespass. They've now sinned when they're being malicious. But a lot of times in marriage and in family, it's not malicious intent. It is just an error. It's a trespass. They did something wrong. Are y'all with me? And in an extended family as well. Because everybody's concerned about their own family, their own concerns, and not necessarily your family and yours. So they didn't necessarily see what that meant to you. So you just got to bring clarity to it in a loving way. We're going to get there in a second, all right? So the first part is preparation. Y'all see it? You prepare your heart. You check your heart first. Get all the facts. The facts, right? Now confrontation. Preparation, confrontation. Rather than ignoring unhealthy behaviors or accepting disconnection in relationships, courageously and lovingly take a step toward confrontation. Nobody really loves confrontation. Nobody loves it, particularly with loved ones. You love them. You don't want the thing to go bad. You don't want it to go worse. Come on, somebody. You don't want the situation that you're trying to bring to reconciliation. You don't want it to go to a total wreck. So we're often, sometimes it's easier just to avoid the situation. But that doesn't help fix it or move the relationship bigger, all right, or help it grow. So confrontation rather than ignoring, all right. Now, confront the person's behavior. We said this, but confront the person's behaviors, not the person's intention. A lot of times it's easy to get in a room with someone else and not the person and talk about what that person intended. They wanted to hurt me. They wanted to do that. This is why they do that. And you start building this whole narrative about their intentions without knowing their intentions. When you confront a person, don't talk about what their intentions are because you don't know what their intentions are. What you know is the behavior. You want clarity on that behavior. What was said? What was done? This is what hurt when you said this, when you did this. You get it? You want clarity to that. Confront the person's behavior, not their intentions. Amen? All right. Speak the truth in love. Don't just love telling the truth. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible talks about it here. Do we have the passage here? It talks about speak. I think I'm going to get into it in the next section. No, there it is. Turn over to Ephesians 4:15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Watch what, when you speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So he's saying here, as you speak the truth in love, and we've talked about this in the communication section, this takes real effort. When you confront family members, it's good to get it. If it's something that's really painful, I'm not talking about the petty stuff. Petty stuff, you can let go, because we all have petty right? Errors and shortcomings. But I mean stuff that has offended you, stuff that has hurt you, and stuff that has given you that weird feeling. Come on, somebody, that awkwardness. It's quiet. And that weirdness. You want to get over that. You want to lovingly confront. So instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Now, speaking the truth in love, you wrap up what you're saying in a nice present. You get what I'm saying? You don't hate the person, you just don't like this one thing they did. So coat what you have to say with all the good stuff that they do. Wrap it up in love. Wrap it up in love. Bring a gift. You know that the Bible always talks about this? Your gift makes room for you. And it literally is talking about a gift. You've been given a gift by God. It'll make room for you in your career. But a gift to someone that you're an offense with can help open the doors to let them see, no, I don't want to have any beef. I want you to know I love you. This thing hurt me that you did. And you know, we talked about the body language and all that kind of stuff earlier on when we talked about communication. But it's important that you make a setting, and particularly with a spouse. Baby, do you mind coming up here for a second? I know you got 10 Bibles right there, 10 translations, notes, pens, phones, children's ministry work, doing everything. But watch, here's one of the things that oftentimes it is me saying something stupid or not paying attention to something or doing something. People are getting the impression that I'm really a jerk. I'm not. But oftentimes, once I find out that I've offended her, one of the first things I want to do is have a loving touch. Not a sexual touch, but a loving touch that breaks. Have y'all ever been in the house where it's silence? Like they turn the air on 30 below and it's just like everybody's cold and, you know, and that is such an uncomfortable thing and it's really immature to let that go on. Come on, somebody. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child and I acted like a child. But when I was a man, I put away childish things. And the silent treatment is really childish. When we're adults and we love each other, and yes, we've done something and maybe some offense has happened, but it is a mature thing to say, hey, look, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I got to do better at this. Help me to do better. And Des Tiggler will say, help me to notice if I do that. Help me to recognize if I do anything like that. Please let me know. And that kind of thing. But this says, hey, I'm not mad, and hopefully you're not mad, and I love you. We're going to work this out. Come on, somebody. Y'all get what I'm saying? But you want to break those walls and a gentle touch. And that's what the handshake is all about. The handshake is all about breaking that wall, that barrier that says, hey, you know, even though if you're a stranger, but I'm a friend. And you're yielding yourself to them. You get it? And that's what in marriage and even with your kids, learn to hug, learn to embrace, make them know that you love them. Come on, somebody. Amen. Oh, God, this is so practical. I almost feel like I'm not doing my job. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, Amplified Bible. We're almost done, y'all, and I'm gone long. Watch this. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. When we start writing our own narrative about intentions, typically it goes sour. It goes bad because we think that they're trying to hurt us. Typically they're not. Typically it's just some misunderstanding, or they didn't see it that way, or they weren't even thinking about it. Y'all get it? But the Bible says here to believe the best of every person. Love does. Love hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. That's why it says in Matthew, keep coming back. I'm not giving up hope on you. I'm going to continue praying and I'm going to continue believing. I'm not going to throw on the towel on this, right? Love bears up under anything. Our hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. Say, love never fails. Look over at Ephesians real quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. Y'all give me 5 minutes here. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Look at this. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps each word a gift. Make the words a gift. God, y'all think of that. Get the picture of that. Make your words a gift. That means compliment the good areas. Come on, somebody. You want to make somebody happy? Say good things about them. Bad word, eulogy, but it means speak blessing. Do it while they're alive. Speak nice things. And we should make a habit of that all the time. Whoever it is, whenever you're greeting people, just speak well of them. How you doing? You look great today, man. Be encouraging to people. We should do that at church when we're meeting and seeing each other. Wherever we are in the parking lot, smile and be friendly to people. Amen? Watch the way you let nothing dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps and each word a gift. Next, I'm sorry. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life. Do you see how God intertwines in your communication with others, your relationship with him? Why? Because the way we communicate and relate to others is a sign of how God's relationship is with us. If we're cussing out our spouse, always going, typically we need to check our relationship with God. Come on. When your relationship is really tight with God, there's no way you're just going to jump off with people, particularly the ones with your last name. You're not. You've got a real relationship with God. Come on, there's a filter on that. Amen. Don't grieve God, breathing and moving and breathing. Most imminent part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Did y'all see that? Listen. Now watch. When we're in this confrontation, we have to be willing to listen. Understand, not to respond. We want to hear what they're saying, but not just to give our rebuttal. We want to hear what was going on with this. Look over at Proverbs 18:2 and verse 13 in the NLT. Yeah. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Look at verse 13. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. We read them, right? Y'all see this? Look over at James chapter 1, verse 19. And we're going to show one passage about reconciliation. We're going to go home, all right? Y'all learning? James chapter 1. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to what? Slow to speak and slow to get angry. What the Bible is saying here, relationships are so vitally important. And things do happen. Stuff jumps off. But we've got to be quick to listen. Quick to listen. Most people aren't malicious. Just stuff happens. Just those trespasses happen. There is some malicious stuff that goes on. You get it? But for the most part, most believers, come on, hit the person next to you. Say, I'm in love with you, whether you like it or not. I am. I am. Just hit him on the other side. With the love of the Lord. You got to add that deep part in right there. All right. Okay, y'all got that? We can talk friendlier and talk nicer. All right, so let's get to reconciliation. This is the last part, and I want to show you what genuine reconciliation is. We're about to dismiss. Stick with me for 1 minute here if you can. Turn over in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20, and this is our last passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Watch this. Paul talking about how we've been reconciled to God. Watch the wording, though, because reconciliation requires two people making action. Forgiveness requires just me forgiving you or God just forgiving the world. But true reconciliation is that person has to receive it and do something. Let's watch what the Bible says. Y'all remember this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul talking about how we're new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now all things are of God. That's our perspective now. Who has what? Reconciled us, rejoined us to himself through Jesus Christ. Watch this. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. How did he do it? Not imputing their trespasses to them. That means he forgave them, right? And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors, Christ's personal representative, amplified version, for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, look at this, be reconciled to God. God reconciled the world to himself. Paul says, you got to be reconciled back to God. Let's see what happened here, because this is what true reconciliation is. In verse 19, God says, God reconciled us to himself in Jesus. That means that Jesus suffered the just penalty for our sins. And reconciliation to God is justice. Justice isn't retribution, retaliation. Justice is reconciliation. We sinned against God. God retaliates with reconciliation. Hold up, do y'all hear what I'm saying right there? We oftentimes want to get back at people, but God says God's justice is reconciliation. Y'all remember this with, what's the guy in the Bible who they threw him off the boat? Jonah, thank you. See? Jonah. Remember what happened? He got to the island. He said, well, I ain't going to go. God, I'm not going to preach to him because if I preach to him, they're nasty, dirty sinners. They need to die. And if I go preach to them, you're just going to forgive them. That's the whole point. I want them to receive that. And isn't that the whole point? The whole point is they're family, they're blood. We love each other. They're a brother, they're a believer. Let's walk together in peace. Let's walk together in love. Let's take the high road. Let's walk like mature believers and not let stuff, big or small, separate us from the love of each other. Come on, somebody, are y'all with me? Verse 19 said, we have the message of reconciliation. If God gave us the message of reconciliation for a good news, for a reason, we are to share this good news that God's not mad at us. God's not mad at us. He's reconciled us to him. Paul then says in verse 20, will you be reconciled to God? What does that entail? That means I believe it, I repent, and receive it. Repent is just a word that means change your thinking. And that's what you want in reconciliation. They don't even know that they hurt you. You want to change their thinking about that, right? Get them to believe that and change their thinking about that so that they can receive forgiveness and then be reconciled and restored. If God has reconciled the world to himself, is everyone saved? No. Why? Because they haven't received and believed that and became reconciled to God. Are y'all listening to me? It's a two-way street. So I want to do my part so that they have the opportunity to do their part. If God never offered their forgiveness in advance, there would be no place for reconciliation. We have to offer the forgiveness so that there can be reconciliation. Are y'all with me? Close your Bible.